break heart.
Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. I know it's just life. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I want to remind everyone, we are on YouTube. We've been working hard these last couple of weeks to improve our podcast and make it more accessible to those of you who listen, and especially those who watch us on YouTube. So if you haven't seen us on YouTube, I'd encourage you to check us out. Just search the Katinas. You'll see our channel there. And we'd love to hear any feedback you have for us, any questions, any ideas for the pod. We're open to all of that. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys in the comment section. And I want to thank those of you who support this show for the last 3 years now by listening, watching, and our monthly partners who have partnered with us financially. This show and everything we do at Katina Ministries wouldn't be possible if it weren't for people like you. So I want to thank you guys specifically for your support. And if you're curious to learn more about Katina Ministries, who we are, what we do, the best way to find out more information is just visit thekatinas.com. You'll find out everything you need to know there. So thank you for that. And as we move into this week's episode, I'm excited. We have a first-time guest on the show, someone who I believe I've known him since I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. Wow. And he is a special...
How old are you now?
I just turned 28.
Ooh, that's 20 years.
Yeah. Okay. So...
That's 20 years.
We'll get into who he is, but I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Calvin Noel.
What's
Calvin,
up?
Bro.
See you in.
I'm glad you're here, man.
And glad to be here.
Maybe a month or two ago, we had our live stream here called The Gathering, and... You came in and you're sitting over there, actually.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, Calvin would be a good guest for the podcast. And Uncle John hooked it up. And as we begin the show, I'd like to give you a chance real quick just to introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what you do. Yeah. And if you wouldn't mind also sharing what your connection is with the Katina family.
Yep. So, Calvin Noel, I am lived here in Nashville for about 23 years. Wow. I'm originally from Cincinnati, born and raised in Cincinnati. Went to the University of Cincinnati. When I lived here in Nashville, I've been mostly in the music industry here in CCM world, from singing background to leading worship to working in the advertising marketing space.
Okay.
And working with different clients and artists still to today. But when I was growing up in Cincinnati, I didn't grow up singing. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm.
So I didn't start singing until I got into college. Wow. And so that was at the University of Cincinnati. And I was at the college just trying to meet friends. And then I discovered that I had the singing gift. And then my parents were like, oh my gosh, Calvin can sing. Wow. Like, what is this about? So then it just kind of elevated. Our doors started opening as I started singing. Then I moved down to Nashville right after college. And then I started to sing with Michael W. Smith. Mm. And then after singing with Michael W. Smith and then doing all these session stuff, you get to meet a lot of different artists.
Mm.
And so I think that's how I met the Katinas. I don't know. I don't even remember where I first met them, but it was through the industry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so they were always really nice, always kind. They always kind of took me in as far as just like encouraging me. And actually, they were the first band that let me open for their Christmas tour.
Oh, wow.
So I went on there and crushed it.
Yes, you did.
I didn't crush anything. But they let me open up on tour for them, and that's where it really got cool. I got to be able to see who they were behind the scenes, and I was just really impressed because they don't fight. You know what I mean? Like, they don't fight. Like,
they don't fight in front of you.
Well, but I'm very observant, so I'm kind of like, they don't really fight. Huh. You know, like, I know other sibling groups, and they are at each other's throats. Mm. But these guys, I was like, man, they like really love each other, you know? And so I was always impressed by that. Mm. And so they've been like bigger brothers to me, and just they show me the way and some of the industry, and just honestly exemplified integrity for me, you know, just stellar people, stellar, love their families. I mean, and so I'm just glad to be connected. These are my family. These are my brothers. So
I know.
Thank you, Calvin.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth.
We all feel the same way about you. And there are certain people in my, when I think about my childhood, that were like, I never really knew why they were around, but I was like, but that guy, he's part of our family.
Yeah.
And you were definitely one of those.
Yeah, three. And I think that was one of the things that I really loved, because also too, being single, they were very inclusive and invited me over to just, you know, to have chicken and rice.
Yes.
Fried chicken and rice.
That's the family meal right there, bro.
It would be a football game, and we just talk mess to each other and threaten each other's lives at the Super Bowl parties, you know. But they've just been really good friends and family. I consider it family.
Uncle John, do you remember meeting Calvin or how?
Yeah, so as you were introing, I was trying to think about a specific gathering or place, but I think it was just maybe some mutual friends in the industry.
Yeah,
it could have been during GMA, but I think as far as the five brothers, you and James kind of connected.
Yes, me and James
in the beginning.
Might have been Kenny Bell.
Could have been.
It might have been Kenny Bell. Yep. I don't remember, but
Kenny was a guest a few months ago on the pod. But yeah, having Calvin out on the one of the Christmas tours was awesome. Because, you know, I mean, before that and since, we don't normally take people out. Yeah. We haven't had another artist out with us in years. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it was a connection. It was his story.
Yeah.
It was a lot of the things that we find in common and are growing up. I didn't know that about you not singing until you got to college.
No, yeah, that's dude. Crazy. That is, I mean, that's like crazy. People in high school don't know me as a singer.
Wow.
So people in high school are not like, so how's your singing going? Like,
so you didn't grow up in like a musical family?
I didn't grow up in a musical family. I didn't sing in church. If I sang, I sang to myself and nobody told me. I got no feedback that I could sing. And it wasn't until I went to University of Cincinnati. Everybody's like, you got a good personality. Why don't you run for the Mr. and Miss African American Arts Festival. It was like for a guy and a girl personality competition. And I was like, okay, cool. The upperclassmen were gassing me. They were like, dude, you have a great personality. You should run. I was like, okay. And so I ran, but then they was like, well, you got to do a talent. And I was like, dude, I guess I'm going to read. I said, I'm going to read a dramatic poem. My best friend Keenan was like, bro, don't you read no poems, bro.
That's not getting votes.
That's not it. Like you not read no poems. I ain't going to tell you what else he said. He's like, that's not the move. That's not the move. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? I don't have a talent. He was like, why don't you sing? Because you joined the choir. Mm-hmm. And I just joined the choir to meet people.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I wound up singing Fred Hammond's Running Back to You.
Wow.
And won the competition.
Oh,
won the talent competition. I didn't win the whole pageant, but I won the talent part. And then my family were like, what happened? Like, where did this come from?
That's so interesting to me.
So I'm a really late bloomer. So one of the things people don't know about me, like, my identity isn't in music. It's so easy for me to lay it down.
Yeah.
That's why people hear from me and then don't hear from me. Because I've been doing so many other things, have sure. other talents that I use,
yeah.
that I have to really make myself release music. Like, it's not a, I just love to, I don't wake up like, what can we do musically?
Yeah.
Don't ever think like that. I'll think business-wise and marketing for something for other people, but I don't wake up like, I want to write a song and then I want to go on tour. Like, man, it just, you know, I just use this to serve the kingdom.
Yeah.
Really, that's like, and so now I'm, now with the recent successes of music, I'm having to kind of like start over
mm-hmm.
and being like, well, what is this going to look like?
Well, you have such a gift. You have many gifts, obviously. Mm-hmm. Your voice is the one that I was introduced to.
Dang.
We have a, me and my dad have a joke that there's some people, you know, we imagine that when God's making us in mm-hmm. heaven, he said, all right, you get height, you get looks, you get a little bit of talent. And some people, it's like he just poured the talent on them.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, and that's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
Because I've been singing, I'm such and such age, yeah. and I've been singing all my life since I was yay high. And to think that mm-hmm. you didn't start singing till college.
I think it's God's way of keeping everybody humble. Because it's like, if you want to get spiritual just for a second, you know, Lucifer used to be a worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then he got prideful. God was like, okay, I'm going to take somebody lower than you, lower than the angels, and I'll show you. And that's what he used us to do. And so I think God is like, it don't matter. I'll take somebody else that they ain't even thinking about it and give him. Because the gift is really nothing but the ability of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And so what happens is I got the gift and I got to give a tribute to this lady. I do it on every interview. When I was a freshman, I was working at a telemarketing firm called, it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
I was doing a telemarketing job. And then during the telemarketing job, the manager would be like, we're going to take a break and we're going to sing during break. And I'm like, and he was like, there's this girl that worked there. Her name was Dion Rhodes. He was like, Dion, sing us in the break. And I'm like, man, I hate this job. They're going to make this girl sing. This is like,
I have never heard of that in my life.
I'm like, wow. this is just, they just corner, like, take a break. And she's going to sing. And then we turn our phones off. And then she gets up. I'm like, I'm quitting today. This girl gets up and she is phenomenal.
Wow.
I'm like, she sounds like Anita Baker with Toni Braxton.
Wow.
Little bit of Whitney, like, I mean, she...
She has it all, man.
She has it all.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here as this new singer, like, yo. So I remember she didn't have a car. Sometimes I would have to give her a ride home, and I had my tape recorder. And I was like, Dan, let me hear how you would sing Fred Hammond's Running Back to You. Because, you know, if she was singing a certain kind of way... I was like, Dion, how do you do that?
Mm.
And she was like, what? I was like, I don't know. Just when you sing, you just, how do you do that? And she was like, I just concentrate.
Mm. Wow.
And I took that as a brand new singer, that when you sing, you got to concentrate it. Or I interpreted sing it like you really mean it.
Mm.
So that's what, as I started as a singer, I just started to sing songs like I really mean it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Come to find out, that's been more the niche
mm-hmm.
when I moved to Nashville. I remember when I first moved to Nashville, I did a session for like Time Life Music or Time Magazine or something. And there were some of these, all these top session singers, and I'm brand new in town. And I'm like, oh gosh, this is nervous. I've never done background vocals. I've just been singing for 4 years.
Yeah.
And the producer was like, all right, I want everybody to do an ad-lib pass where you just open worship on the track or mm-hmm. whatever. So I did it. And then the next day, a few of the singers came back. They were like, hey, man, we were just talking about you from yesterday last night. We were like, man, it seems like when that guy sings, when he did his ad-lib pass, he just means it.
Mm.
And I was thinking, like, that's what I was like, yeah. I mean, that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
Like, to mean it. And so that's what happened with my career. And then I'm just seeing people respond to music now. And I'm like, wait, don't we all mean it?
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I know people mean it, but it's just, I'm more concentrated and focusing. I think who I'm singing to.
I think too there is just a natural gift of like, I think there's people who can mean what they're singing, but it doesn't come out that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of, I guess, the challenge and what separates some vocalists and artists in general from others is the ability to convey that authenticity. Through their art. And thinking about, what was the lady's name?
Dion.
I was watching an interview, I think, several months ago, and they were having conversation. These people, it was a music thing, and they were having conversations. Who's the best vocalist right now? Mm-hmm. Who's the best vocalist in the world? And I forget who it was, but one person said, the truth is, the best vocalist in the world is probably bagging groceries somewhere or working at a telemarketing agency. Like, there's so many people out there.
So you gotta stay humble.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's talent everywhere. And just hearing your story about not growing up singing, but having the gift that you do is, to me, it's just confirmation that there's talent everywhere you look. But
yeah,
I have a kind of a random question for you about, so you grew up in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college at the Lee University in East Tennessee, which is a Church of God school. And there are so many students there from Cincinnati. And I'm curious, is there like, did you hear about Lee growing up?
Never heard about Lee. Nobody's talking about Lee or Belmont, none of them.
Is the Church of God big in Cincinnati or?
There is a big Church of God. It's in Hamilton, Ohio.
Yeah, Church of God.
Mm-hmm. So, I've just always wondered, like, what the connection is with kids from Cincinnati coming to middle of nowhere, Tennessee.
From that one church.
It could be from that one church. Okay. Kind of like, you just follow your friends.
Right.
And
right.
So maybe there was somebody that was a leader.
Okay.
That was like, I'm going here because.
But it probably is. Like, there's probably one guy who recruits in Cincinnati.
Yeah. But it wasn't. When I was growing up, I didn't know that there could be entertainment degrees. And I would have done that because I've always liked entertainment. Like, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm going to be friends with celebrities. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But I didn't know I could sing. I thought it was just going to be like, man, I could see myself being friends with Michael Jackson.
You're just one of the guys.
Like, I just wanted one of the fellas.
Well, I'm curious then, what did you go to school for?
I went to school for marketing and management.
Okay.
So I got a dual degree. I say dual because I had to pay for it and it took me 5 years before. But I got a degree in marketing and then a degree in management.
Okay.
So now they combine them together, but I'm like, I got double degrees.
Yeah, you did.
So speaking of marketing, God has opened up that space to you as well.
Yes.
And I want to ask you about, you were just talking about meeting celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have one of your heroes. Mm-hmm. You got to meet her.
Yes.
Through your marketing company.
Yes.
Can you share that story?
Yes. Well, first of all, with marketing, marketing was my singing thing, like when I was growing up. So 4 years old, I've always wanted to do marketing.
Really?
Yeah. So that's where my identity was really. And like, I used to watch this show called Bewitched. Uh-huh. And her husband, Darren Stevens, was his marketing ad executive. And he would always come and make slogans and stuff like that. And I always said, oh, that's what I want to do when I get older. Mm. Anyway, so that's what I have been pursuing, the school and trying to work and do everything. Yeah. So the marketing side. So with my company now that I have, Come On Creative, I'm a huge fan of Oprah Winfrey. And this was a year that I had went to her conference. I went to her conference down in Atlanta and Miami. She did like a one-day event at an arena. It was from like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And, just talking about life and living your best life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I went to that and I was so blown away by by her story and everything like that. And she said at the end of this, she said, this is the year that you bet on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and double down on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I felt like it was the Lord. I was like, bet on yourself. You bet on everybody else, but just bet on you.
Yeah.
And so I started my company as a result of that, leaving that thing. I was like, well, I'm going to start my own company.
Wow.
Come On Creative. And then fast forward a year later, she just talked about belief. And so, like, my podcast is called Make Believe. Mm. You know, like, anything can happen when you make believe.
Yeah.
But how do you make believe happen, you know? Sure. And so I basically started this thing where I was just like, I just grew up pretending, you know, role playing. And kind of like that. So I went and got these puppets, you know, and I said one was like my ego, you know, Cal Kelly. That was one puppet's name. And then I just made up some other friends, you know, like the people that I work with, my coworkers at my company. And I was just like, what would it be like? Well, my first episode would be like, what would it be like if I met Gary Vee in person, you know, the marketing guru?
Yeah.
So I just pretend I had a guy that was Gary Vee puppet. We would get little audio clips from him talking online. And so I would go talk to Gary Vee. My puppet would go to New York, talk to Gary Vee. Gary Vee would curse me out and I would bleep it out. You know, I bleeped it all out. And so.
So you're doing that before AI, man.
Yeah, I bleeped it all out. And it was like I was having this conversation. And it didn't really do that well. It wasn't like people was taking it, but I had so much fun making it.
Yeah.
I was like, but this costs too daggone much. I was like, I'm not going to keep doing this. And so I said, I'm going to do one more. Uh-huh. And just, I said, what would it be like if Oprah came to the office to surprise me?
Yeah.
And I saw this little puppet online. I was the black girl lady. I was going to make her Oprah.
This is amazing.
And so I went and got all these clips of Oprah, like when she says, we found clips of her saying cow or like she said name or like, you know, and we just strung it all together audio wise.
This sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
And we just had a conversation. Me, my friend Joy, she was playing the receptionist. And so she was like, Calvin. Well, I was like, what? She's like, Oprah, I said. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm like, my puppet is going nuts and crazy. And then Oprah, she was like, Cal, Joy. And I was like, Oprah knows my name. You know, and so anyway, we acted it out. And then I remember my client is Cece Winans. And I was telling her about this episode that I did. I was like, Cece, you got to look at this thing I did. Just Oprah. And we started talking for about an hour and a half after that call. She's like, so what is it you want to do? I was like, oh, I said, Cece, Oprah is my dream.
Yeah.
I'm Oprah's son. Like, I feel, I really do feel like Oprah's my mom.
Right. Right?
No, you laugh. I think she's my mom. And so I guess unbeknownst to me, I get a message on Instagram a week later from Oprah's magazine.
Okay.
And they reached out to me saying, hey, we saw your video. This is great. And they were like, man, we just love to interview you just to see how you did the process. Mm. So they interviewed me, and it was just a guy named Joseph. And he was in his apartment. So
Was this like a Zoom call?
It was a Zoom call. And then he was just like, yeah, here, how'd you do it? We're talking for 15 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I just did it this way and this way. He was like, have you ever met Oprah before? I was like, no, I never met her before, but I hope that one day, you know, because it was clear she's not there.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, the screen changes and it's Oprah on the screen. And I'm like, she's like, hey, hey, hey. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. Like, I am freaking out.
Man.
And I'm like, this is Oprah. And so we talked for like 10, 12 minutes. No more, 12, 15 minutes. And she was so great. And she was just like, Calvin, you're a part of my legacy.
Wow.
She was saying all the things that I've just been in my heart. And she said, we will meet again. She said, when we get done with this COVID, we're going to have a celebration.
Wow.
We're going to do these arena events, and I'm going to bring you up to sing. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, we will work together again, Calvin. And I'm like, I'm hoping Oprah, wherever my camera is, Oprah, quit playing. Quit playing. Let's do this.
Come on the show, Oprah.
Come on the show. Get your son. Come on.
Come get your son,
Come
Oprah.
Get your boy.
That is. Wow. Wasn't Oprah born in Nashville?
She lived in Nashville.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did she go to TSU?
Yeah. So she know what's up. We just wait.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
What a story, man.
Yeah. So that was it. That's crazy. My company, what I created, got her attention. I didn't go viral. I just got her attention.
Yeah.
And I was like, This, it was a life. It was a game changer for me. So that was it.
I'm curious, like, so the just hearing you talk about the that video with the puppets, that's an idea that there's a lot of creativity and also beliefs that goes into that. Yeah. And I'm curious, where did that come from? Was it a, were you raised to be that creative and to believe, like take risks like that? Where did you learn that?
No, I'm honestly hate to say it. It's through trial and error. It's always kind of hitting roadblocks.
Yeah.
But I've always been a dreamer. So I've always had the dream thing, you know. But then it was just like, I've been discriminated because of my skin, my weight, you know. So sometimes you have to get really creative to figure things out.
Yeah.
The other thing is there was so much saturation in the music industry, in the online community. This was a particular time where, you know, we always say content is king, but I always say content is king, but attention is queen. Like we need to make content, but it's really about getting people's attention.
Exactly.
And so I was like, how do I get people's attention? Do I just, I don't know if I just sing, what do I do? And sometimes it's just interesting to just see some puppets talking.
Yeah.
That you might, it might grab your attention. So that was when I started saying, I'll get people's attention through being a puppet.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make a Sesame Street of marketing. For marketing with these characters, you know, where it just talks about the business and how to get. Because I've never had mentors. I never had people to tell me how to get somewhere.
Wow.
I've always wanted that, but nobody would ever take the time. But sometimes when you don't have it, it's why you are the person to give it to the next person.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got prophetic words that you're not going to get a mentor. You're just going to be a mentor and you're going to help people see how to do it. So that's kind of what happened is I just started learning through trial and error, and I just wanted to start helping people figure it out, you know. And that's where I met with the music industry. I dived into the marketing side, and I've done artist management, and I've done all those things. And I just start to see, like, as I dissect, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Don't nobody know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Whether you an A-list artist or an independent, nobody knows, but everybody acting like they know. So that's when I started being like the realist of like, yeah, I don't know what y'all doing.
Yeah.
And that's when I started seeing the playing field was leveled. You know, so it was there is no big divide between A-list and independent. That's just smoke screens.
Yeah.
You you speak to that a little more? Because I know what you're talking about. Because you're kind of living, there's been this last season of time, probably almost a year now.
Yeah.
Where even though you've been in the industry for some time, the name Calvin Noel wasn't like, you know, synonymous with music or YouTube. And now that's changed in recent times. Can you tell us what's going on with your music?
Totally. So I've been working behind the scenes. When I first came to Nashville, I started to do independent music, and I did an independent record when I was touring with them years ago, and it was going really well. I hid after that because I felt like people were praising me, and I just didn't like the praise. It didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel like I was ready with my character to be a celebrity, just being honest.
Yeah.
And so I kind of went into artist management and playing behind the scenes. But I've been behind the scenes so much, and you know, I've managed bands from Gunger to B-Rife to work. I've traveled with Michael W. Smith and do marketing for him, and then CeCe, Danny Gokey. I mean, just all people. Yeah. And so I've just been kind of building the name as behind the scenes of like, man, it's great what you're doing with CeCe. It's great what you're doing with this. And just last year, we worked on CeCe's, four years ago, we started working on CeCe's album, Believe For It, which everybody knows. But then she just released a new one recently called More Than This. And when she was looking for songs, when she was working on it, I was like, let me just give her my songs. I have songs that I've written, but I just buried them. So they're all in my voice notes, and they all dated to 2017. You know, like, I don't do anything with them. And one day I was driving out of town and I was listening to them. I'm like, some of these are good. You know, maybe it's, I was like, I think these are good. And I was just like, oh, okay, get them enough faith. All right, CeCe, I got something to share with you. You know, I'm so nervous. And so I text her And she didn't say nothing for 48 hours. And I'm like, oh, she hates my stuff. And so then she called me back and she's like, Calvin, these songs are great. I wish you would have gave them to me earlier because I've already turned in, you know, okay. I've already made my decision on the album. I was like, okay, I know. She's like, well, but why aren't you releasing them? I was like, yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. And then I sent her this video of me singing in this church lobby, which is now on YouTube. It was medley of If Not For Grace. Mm-hmm. And she said, how long have you had that? Is that out? And I was like, no, ma'am. She's like, Calvin. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on that for like 6, 7, 8 months.
Wow.
And she's like, what are you waiting until you're 80 to release music? And then it just broke me. And wow. I started to cry and on the phone. And I just was like, I don't know why I bury my talent like that. I don't know. And so I just went on, prayed a prayer, put it on YouTube. And next thing I know, I started going what they call viral.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, this got 50,000, wait, 100,000, wait, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord. Oh, wow. Like, I'm just kind of like, and so everything from last August to today just has been fast tracking on Instagram, and people are like, you know, following. My numbers are skyrocketing. Instagram's calling me like, yo, what are you doing? Wow. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, Mr. Instagram. So it's one of those things where, and then I go to that conference in Vegas and I'm like, can somebody help me at the YouTube conference? You know, help me understand what's going on. And some of these coaches, they were just like, I don't understand how yours is growing like this. They were like, God's in your channel. That's what they said. They said, man, you got God in your channel. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. So I don't know. So there's this new... You know, I'll go to a hotel and check in, and I'll be like, hey, can I get some more waters for my room? And the lady's like, only if you sing for us first. And I'm like, no.
That I was like, playing
2 weeks ago, and this black lady was sitting in front of me, and she leans over her in between the seats, and she's like, where would I be? You know, I was like, no. And she starts singing all my songs. Awesome. She's like, y'all, this guy's on YouTube.
Oh my God.
And so it's crazy. And that's when I started dissecting. And then that's when I've been becoming a more advocate for artists and people, independents. I'm like, y'all, I don't know what they're telling y'all.
Yep.
But YouTube is reaching greater audiences than we give credit for. Mm. In our knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that's where I've kind of been committed to going on YouTube and building, I guess, a new career for YouTube.
I think this will be a question, I guess, for both of you guys. But, you know, when people are trying to, I guess, go viral or really just gain any kind of following, whether it be on YouTube or Instagram or whatever platform it is, you got to come up with an idea, kind of like your puppet idea. Could have been a total bust, flop. Like, and I'm sure you've come up with ideas that were just like,
it was a bust.
Yeah,
numbers wise.
Okay,
it's on YouTube, but it ain't, you know. But it hit over. Uh-huh.
Well, here's the question, and I guess this is marketing in general in your guys' careers. Was there ever something you guys did? What's the thing that sticks out to you that's like, I can't believe we did that to try and market ourselves or try and.
Yeah,
I'm sure Uncle John has some.
Man, I mean, there nothing like specifically is hitting me other than to say there are some bad decisions that we made.
Okay.
Just thinking that we'd get a bigger bang for our buck. But I like what you said about make belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of it is even in the trial and error. Mm-hmm. All the while you're believing, right?
Right.
And the journey of belief is different for everyone. I think the thing is where we ultimately mess up is when we stop believing.
Yes, totally.
And so in the marketing, and I mean God has really used you to help Katina Ministries in various ways, and we're connected currently.
Yeah.
But it really is about just doing the next thing.
Yeah, the next right move. Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Well, yeah, and then also too, I don't know. I've tried to do things to get out there, but I've been so behind the scenes. Like, I haven't done anything with music. And people would ask me, when are you going to do music? I'd be like, oh, it didn't really work. Mm-hmm. I remember I released a single a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and it was like crickets. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not paying no more for y'all. Y'all didn't do nothing with this.
Right.
And maybe just the song didn't connect, you know? But that's when I gave up. Yeah. I mean, I pretty much gave up, like, man, I ain't paying all this money to just let y'all not buy my record.
Yeah, right.
But then actually COVID was really helpful because that's when I started my company. I was at another agency. Check this out. I was at another agency working and I felt like I wanted to leave it because I wanted to do my own. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to finish up here end of February. I said, I'm going to take the month of March off just to relax and have a vacation. I said, I'm going to start mine in April of 2020. Mm-hmm. Well, when I quit that job at the end of February, then March, everybody started coughing.
Yep.
And I'm like, here's this COVID thing. So I'm starting a brand new agency at the beginning of COVID. And I was like freaking out. Mm-hmm. Thank God I had a bigger client that kind of stayed with me. Mm. But what I realized in that, it was everybody was playing defense. Mm. Yeah. And the Lord told me, play offense. Mm. Wow. Everybody's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, no, this is the opportunity. The playing field is level. Oprah, Ellen, everybody has a phone.
Yep.
I have a phone. Mm-hmm. God is really putting this in our favor, not in their favor. Like, they used to have all the cameras, the lights, and nobody could afford to do what they do. Yep. Next thing I know, all they had to do was turn on their ring light.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this is Ellen. I'm at home. Well, I'm at home, too. With the same show you got, you know?
Wow.
So I started really thinking offensively when it came to marketing, being a little bit more aggressive and start thinking, this is the opportunity. And that's when I just started to believe in social media more. And I know a lot of my peers, we down social media, but I'm like, this is an opportunity for us to change the game.
Yeah.
I tell my friends just last week, pastors, like, y'all do not forsake technology.
Yeah.
Stay on it, own it, make it what you want it to be, but don't get irrelevant as you get older.
Right.
Mm. Be on top of this technology and just stay on it. That's how you connect. That's how you stay young, but that's how you connect with the next generation. Yeah. And so that's where I started to think, like, dissect and be like, hey, I can do what they, it ain't that far, you know, and we got the internet. I mean, it's like, we're reaching people in their households.
Well, and I'll say this, I remember watching, it was in 2020. And when this was one of the moments where I realized, like, this, everything is changing, is when I saw Jimmy Kimmel in his house doing the whatever his show is. I don't even watch Jimmy Kimmel, but I was like, this guy's like, he's like one of the guys and he's doing it in his house. And I think that in 2020, there were people who recognized the opportunity then that now 4 years later are reaping the rewards from that. And I think a lesson that I learned in 2020 is that it's the people who see the opportunities and are willing to commit to it early on that reap the greatest reward. And I'm curious, I already know that there's someone out there, it's probably some kid who is already figuring out how he's going to use this AI stuff to make himself a media mogul. Mm-hmm. And I've like, because I think the world is going to change. It already is changing.
Yeah.
And there are going to be people out there who right now they see the vision that no one else sees with it. And I think that in some ways that's a gift that some people are able to see those things, but also it's a commitment and a belief in yourself that I think I see in you, Calvin, that is like, well, I see this opportunity and I'm going to go after it. And I think the combination of those two things is where... it's where the magic happens.
Yeah, you know, Oprah said something. You don't get what you want in life just because you want it. You get what you believe.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's possible. Yeah. And so that's really where it is. That's what's like, I just believe it's possible. Like, I like people would laugh at me. I mean, you know, I've talked about Oprah for this is nothing new.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Calvin talks like he believes that's his mom. And she, so when she says, Calvin, you're a part of my legacy, I'm like, y'all, she basically just said,
she's my mom.
That's what she said. Yeah. But when we talked, it looked, we felt like we knew each other.
Yeah. That's
when
so
you
cool,
watch the
man.
Interview, it's like, I feel like I've known her my whole life.
Yeah.
But I manifested it through just my belief of like, when I got there, I was like, oh, this is my moment. Mm-hmm. Oprah, you my mom. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're part of my legacy. And I just, that's when I was like, so that's where I'm just trying to be now. It's like, you just got to make believe happen, whatever it is that you're going for.
Yeah.
You know, even podcasts, I would start podcasts and then quit. But people, the most successful podcasts are the ones that keep going.
Yeah. That's good, man.
You know, everybody quits a podcast.
Right.
But if you keep this for 4 years, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm like, we just don't see how keep persevering.
Yeah.
We'll really win. I mean, I've worked with artists that were ahead of their game. You know, like Gunger or B-Right, he rap and sang, and people told you couldn't rap and sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody rapping and singing.
Yeah. You heard of Drake?
Yeah, you heard of Drake. And you were doing that before Drake. But then, you know, it gets hard because you're not being celebrated for rapping and singing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where it is. You either got to keep going, or if you fall off like me, I fell off, just get back up and try again. And don't let people tell you. See, that's what the gatekeepers don't like with me, because I'm defying what the parameters say.
Yeah.
I ain't skinny. I ain't in skinny jeans. I don't do, you know, I ain't the cool. No, man, there's too many people. There's millions of people that like me the way I am.
Yeah.
Or like the music that I have. And so there's something for all of us. And that's the lie. Like, we all start to feel like, man, we ain't young cats anymore. Yeah. Like, so, you know, if you really think about it, on TikTok, grandparents are the ones winning on TikTok with the biggest accounts.
Yeah.
Because really, young people like to see what old people, you
it's
know.
Interesting,
it
man.
Is. You see a grandparent talk. Yeah. It just, I don't know what that is. It just, but the grandparents don't own account. It's their kids owning the account. Yeah. But I think young people want to hear from old people. They just want to hear from it in a different way.
Yeah.
But our old people don't want to do nothing.
Yeah.
And don't want to make, and it's like, man, y'all, we need to wake up.
Yeah.
Let the grays come, let the weight come, and make content. Yeah. They'll listen to us forever, you know?
I think what you're saying is just proof that there isn't necessarily, because we're always, as creatives, like, okay, what's the formula?
There's no formula.
It is like, man, whatever you feel in your heart, whatever you believe you were meant to do and be, in this time and in the space that we're in, that's what it is. I mean, at 52, you know, and in the Katinas, we're all in our 50s now. Yeah. We're still finding out new ways, and even through technology, how to reach our community.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's
The other thing is, too, I was going to say this, and I didn't even talk about this, but I did start this worship collective called Aware Worship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recognizing his presence and his people.
Mm.
And I just really believe this is what I really think the secret is. It's in people.
Mm.
Like we are great and aware of his presence, but we are horrible at seeing what's in you.
Wow.
And seeing what's in you or the next person. And I believe that if you start seeing that the treasure is in earthen vessels, it's in people.
Yeah.
And so I sit here and see really strong marketers say the key to success, this is Gary V said, whoever is closest to the customer wins.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So if you have the heart of you care about the customer first, then your employees, then you, that's the way that marketers are saying this is how it works.
Yeah.
It's in people. Mm-hmm. So if you're really into people, you're figuring out what they need with content.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do people need? What songs do they need? You know, that's how I'm approaching everything. So I knew that people needed to wake up and have music that they can just worship the God. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, I play you every morning. You know, like that's me studying the people, my audience, of like, y'all just want something pure, don't you? Yeah. It don't matter. And now I'm trying to figure like, it don't even matter what I sing. Mm. If I know what the audience, I can sing your song. They just oh, that's so annoying. You know?
There's this interview of Jeff Bezos, and the interview is asking him, so what was it like you started an online bookstore when in Seattle when you were young? He said, we were in a bookstore. We were in a book company. We were a customer service company. Mm-hmm. That was the goal of Amazon from the beginning, was to be the best customer service company in the world.
And you listen to what people need and you serve their needs. Yep. You become a solution to a problem. I remember my old pastor said, if you're not being a solution, there's two things in the world, solutions and problems. Mm-hmm. Jesus came as a what? A solution to a problem. So if you're not being a solution, then you're a problem. It's like, it's always, you know, there's always something that you can fix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be some lady on the street that car broke down and all you had to do was change a tire.
Yeah.
You can be a solution. So I think as we have our ministries, like, what can we solve? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, what is it that we can solve? Mm-hmm. And like you guys do, it's like, we can solve family. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, we and then you start working toward that. And you just never know. It may be in your older age that people really do need the family, because people are getting older and some people get married, some people don't get married. Mm-hmm. And so there's a different need for family, but they'll gravitate to what you've built because it's so about family. And it might took me 15 years to get to your content, but now that I'm here, I'm like, man, thank God for them. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel included. I feel seen, heard, and valued. And so that's what we're doing with The Wear, is we're just seeing each other, encouraging the God in each other. And I'm seeing God like show up like unbelievably. Mm. And so that's like my other account that's been doing really well on social media is Aware. Yeah. And we're just overlooked worship leaders. We're like David's in the field. They're just out with the sheep.
Yeah.
And then we go find people and say, hey, why don't you come?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know you probably don't feel like you fit in the music industry, but why don't you come?
That's so cool.
You know, so that's kind of what I've been doing and what I've been seeing. And I'm excited about it. At the same time, it gets overwhelming, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So,
I got two things before we close. First off, you've alluded to some of the things that you're doing. Where can people find what you're doing, your content, your music, all of that?
Yeah, I'm online and all social media platforms. It's Calvin Noel. So CalvinNoell. Aware Worship is aware.worship on Instagram. My company is Come On Creative. If you go to my Instagram page, it just has all the things that I'm a part of that I've started. So I'm definitely accessible on all social media platforms. And
great. I would encourage our audience, if you want to worship,
absolutely,
find this guy.
Yeah.
He'll usher you into the Lord's
presence.
Yeah,
my YouTube channel. Yes, YouTubers. Please find me on YouTube.
Come on, Calvin. You're supposed to be the YouTube
Search
guy.
Search for me on YouTube, please.
Thank you for being here, man. And the last thing, that we kind of have a tradition on the show, started by one of my uncles, where we leave people with an encouraging word. And so I'm going to ask Uncle John, Uncle, if you would leave Brother Calvin with an encouraging word as we close today.
Man, I'm honored to do that. And because I feel like Calvin is, there have been many times in my life where you've encouraged me. We had dinner just the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to be able to reciprocate that, I just want to say I'm proud of you and just
thanks, brother.
Keep going. I mean, you talked, you refer to times when you perhaps buried some things that maybe God was wanting to grow. And, and we all face, you know, insecurities and things that make us feel stuck. And so instead of keep going, we retreat back and we hide. I think what's cool about you is you've experienced what it is to be behind the scenes in the background and, you know, in the light.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of people can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm feeling like God is entrusting certain ones. He's definitely entrusting you to be able to help and assist other people launch whatever their gifts and callings are, you're doing with so many artists, and then also be in the forefront where people recognize the gift, you know, whether you're in an airplane or or in the hotel lobby and people see you. And so for such a time as this, I think God is entrusting you with the back and the front. So stay encouraged with that.
Thank you, brother. Likewise.
I love you, man.
Love you guys too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, man.
May God bless your channel.
Yes, we receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.